content, you can write them down, and I'll read them right quick. Try to be as fast as possible, maybe. Yeah. We're going to take a look at three people, three young people. Two of them, you don't even know their names. They're in the Bible, and this is mainly for the young people. So as we start off here, we're going to start off with 2 Kings 5:3. And it goes, "And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." This is a young lady that was taken from Israel. She's a captive. She's working for the wife of Naaman. And Naaman was the captain of the host of the king of Syria, and he had leprosy. Let's hold that thought. We're going to move on to the second person. The second person is in John 6:9. And the 9th verse says, "There is a lad which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" This is the time where there's a little boy, a lad, schoolboy's age, that has 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that is given up to feed 5,000. Let's hold that thought. And we move on to Jesus. Luke, 2nd chapter, verse 49. Actually, let's go to verse 46, where he's only 12 years old at the time, but it says there, "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions." I didn't even start my timer, I just let you know. So keep my watch. At 12 years old, the next verse says, "And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." There's 3 different people that's in the Bible. 2 of them, we don't even know their names. They're small in stature, but they've made a big impact. Today, you young people, you can make also a big impact in this world today. What these 3 have in common is not only that they show love in a very bad situation, they gave it their all. They gave wisdom and talked to people that were blown away by their speeches. They had a relationship with God. In order to have that type of a heart, you have to have a relationship with God. To spread love, to also give all, and to spread the word. Today, you're doing that by playing instruments, by giving speeches, by singing songs, by coming down here and praying, by going out there and spreading the word and getting the word out to the community. You may be small, but your impact is huge. It may be big, and it will help somebody else's heart. That's because you have a relationship with God. It's not your parents' relationship. It's not your grandparents' relationship. You're not meeting God through somebody else. You're meeting God yourself. You may be small, but you make a big impact. Thank you.
I'll admit this morning's sermon was a little long. I'll admit it. I'll do my best to keep it down tonight. I don't know if... I don't know what your plan is. Say, what do you mean? Like, I was just thinking about that song that we just sang. I plan to go up in the rapture. That's my plan. With having never tasted death. That's my plan. But I really have nothing to do with the plan. I can't make it happen. But then we're singing that song, And I sure would love to be in heaven when someone trusts Christ. Like, what happens? What's the scene? What goes on? I want to hear the angelic host just praise him. And so I would be okay with that. I would be okay with plan B, is what I'm saying. Proverbs tonight. Nothing to do with the message. Proverbs chapter 30. This is how we get long messages. Talk about other stuff. Appreciate the staff of Lake Ontario Baptist Academy. Each and every day they give of their life. Not just time spent, but truly invest their life into our young people. And I'm thankful for that. I told the church this morning, this is a message that every single young person needs to hear. As I read over my sermon this afternoon, I cannot agree more. This is important. So be attentive. It won't be long, but be attentive. Proverbs chapter 30 tonight. We'll pray and then we'll get into the service. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. And Lord, Lord, your word's so powerful. And Lord, I pray that, again, I just get out of the way. That God, you would do a great work here tonight. Lord, that we would walk out of here fully convinced of how things truly are. But Lord, we need your help with that. And we need you to do that. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. They say a generation. I looked up this afternoon. Google's great. Any question you ever have, you just type it in and it'll give you an answer. Whether it's the right answer or not, I don't know. I said, how long is a generation? For ladies, it's 25 and a half years. I said, how do you get that? And you know what? Why is that? And for guys, it's 31 to 37 years. So about 30 years. Can we say about 30 years? A generation is measured by average lifespan or age of a parent or something like that. There's a whole calculation. Who knew? So I'm saying 25 to 30 years is about a generation. And when you look at life, and I was talking to an adult, and I said, man, well, when we were that age, and it was right, I can't believe I'm saying words like that, but when we were that age, we never would have thought, but that was literally a generation ago. And things changed in a generation. If you think back 25 years, okay, where were you? How old were you? What was life like? Remember 25 years ago? So the young people are up front going, no, I don't remember that. Adults, remember that? 25 years ago. So, we're... 1995? It was good years. 95. Graduated high school in 96, just a couple of days later. And, man, it was a different life. No minimal cell phone use. You actually talked to your friends. Remember that? A generation ago. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11. It's a warning. It says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. These four verses describe a generation that I'm not sure if every generation would look at the upcoming generation and identify this upcoming generation is this generation.
I'm not sure of that. If I asked a generation ahead of me, so I'm 40, maybe some 65 plus, do you look back upon my generation and say, you're the generation that's fulfilled? And each generation looks behind and says, no, that's the generation that's being fulfilled. Either way, there's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. And I'm not sure if the significance or it's getting worse and worse over time. I'll be honest, there were tears in my mother's eyes because of what I did.
Sure.
There were tears in her grandmother and her father's eyes because of what she did. We've all done things. But we look out on the landscape of this upcoming generation, and I look at verses like this and I say, oh Lord, please help us. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. So what's the problem with that? Is that a problem? Is it even a problem? Is that wrong? Is that something that we should draw attention to? Hey, there's a group of people, there's a group of young people, there's a generation that's coming or is already established that doesn't care what dad says. Is that a problem? Does not bring glory and honor to mom. If I knew that I... Man, it would break my heart to know that I made my mom sad. That my actions had grieved her. But there's coming a generation that doesn't even care. There's some significant warnings in the Old Testament. Laws established for parents to help prevent this. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 21. Hey, if your son is rebellious, you grab him by the arm, you bring him to the priest, and they can stone him. Now, the only way that boy is getting to the priest for that is brought by his parents. You understand that? It's not like, hey, this kid's messing up in Walmart. Let's go, you know, let's bring him down. You know, come on. No, you're going. You're a menace to society. I don't get to bring other kids. I'm just responsible for mine. As parents, I know as a child I was informed of this very law. My mom told me, you know, if you lived in the Old Testament, she would say, you'd be dead. Which scared me even more because after I studied it, she would have been the one to have to bring... She was willing. She was going to do it. Because that's the way the child got there. Hey, that wasn't something that happened often. That was for extreme cases. Because what parent is doing that to a child? Their own child. But there's warnings in the Old Testament against this. In the same chapter, Proverbs chapter 30, look at verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. My parents don't know nothing. You be careful that not get a hold of your heart. Because you're not just going against mom and dad. You're going against God himself. Hey, there's a generation that's telling us, warning, there's a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother. that this generation? Who decides that? This generation. Is this what you will be known as? Ladies, is this... Are you going to fulfill Proverbs chapter 30? I look out into the world and I see the things that are going on in the world and I see the awful chaos and I go, what on earth is happening? But I want to ask you here tonight, are you fulfilling Proverbs chapter 30? Are you the ones who curse their father and doth not bless their mother? Lord, help you if you are. In verse 12, it says, there is a generation that appear in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their own filthiness. Two things I see here. Number one, I see pride. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes. Everybody else is at fault. Everybody else is the problem. It's not me. I'm doing this because I'm a victim. I'm doing it. Here, look at some of these verses. Proverbs chapter 11. I have a bunch of verses. We'll go through them quick. We'll not spend a lot of time. See, this isn't a very encouraging... I promise you it'll end positive. Okay? So just wait through the... Okay, so reprove, rebuke, and exhort. So two-thirds of it's going to be a little negative. Last one, positive. All right? So Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. When pride cometh, Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh what? Shame. Shame to who? The proud? Well, in our context, no. No, it's a shame to the family. It's a shame to everybody that you represent. It's a shame to the name that you put on your shirt. It's a shame to the church house that you worship God in. It's the shame to the last name that you carry when you act in pride. And the Bible says, well, the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. But only by pride cometh what? Contention. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 30 and verse 12 says, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. That brings about shame and it brings about contention. Is that what you'll be known for? Is that what you'll be categorized as? Is that going to be your generation? So you don't know what we have to deal with. You're right. I've never been a teenager in 2019. When I was a young person, the things I was dealing with is my mom was on my case for not watching the wrong shows on Nickelodeon. Couldn't watch, you can't do that on television. Wasn't not allowed. Man, the things that our young people have to fight with. Substances that are moving to an age, a new age that is unprecedented. The amount of immorality, of the age of introduction into immorality, is beyond comprehension to me. Are we a perfect school? No, but we do try and put as many gates at our doors to keep that garbage out. I'm just letting you know. And we'll do our very best to not to sacrifice the many for one that desires to do wrong. Say, is that a threat? No, that's a promise. There's serious stuff out there. And one of those things is pride. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23. So why do you keep looking at Proverbs? Because it's filled with wisdom. Proverbs 29:23 says this, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." Tell me one good thing according to the scriptures that pride is beneficial of. There's not one. Matthew chapter 18, we'll read four verses. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Hey, warning, there's a possibility that even under Christian circumstances, there's pride. And Christ addresses it. He addresses it right here. He says, hey, let me show you what you ought to be. Hey, bring this little child here, this innocent little child that has no agenda, that has no self-promotion. That's what you need, he says. But there's a generation. Back at Proverbs chapter 30, I'm going to read you that verse in verse 12. "Not only are they pure in their own eyes, pride, yet is not washed from their filthiness." You know what that is? That's hypocrisy. James chapter 1. Hebrews, James chapter 1 and verse 26. James 1:26. "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." See, what does that mean? Oh, if he seemed to be religious, he's got his Bible underneath his arm, tie all nice, and nice long dress, coming in church house. Just because you're here doesn't make you religious. What's going on the inside? You know, I was talking to Sean here tonight. No, good. I was talking to Sean this afternoon. I'm like, "How you doing?" He's like, "Good. You know, I'm praying for my son. I'm trying to talk to him about the things of the Lord, and you know, and he's trying to witness to his family. You pray for him." He goes, "You know, I saw a picture of me the other day, and we were talking about it, laughing a little bit, and he has no beard and short hair. Our Sean." He goes, "But it matters what's on the inside, right, preacher?" I said, "Yeah, it is. It does." I said, "It does. It does." 2 Timothy chapter 2. See, we care more about the outside than we do the inside. You hear that? We care more about the outside than we do the inside. Now, I'm not saying that you let yourself go. I'm not saying that. Teenage boys, you need to shower. That's important. Ladies, you need to comb your hair. You need to look nice. You need to present yourself in a nice, reasonable fashion. But that is not your righteousness and holiness. That's just normal personal hygiene. It's personal discipline, care. Care for yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Hey, there's a blessing about doing it right. Striving for masteries. Titus chapter 1. Hypocrisy is an awful thing. What is that? Hypocrisy is saying one thing and then being something else. Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. "They profess that they know God, but in works deny Him." What does God think about that? He said, "Being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate." Oh, I know the Lord, yet I do nothing for Him. Hypocrisy. There's a generation. There's a generation. There's a generation that are disobedient to their parents. There's a generation that are proud. There's a generation coming that are hypocritical. Hey, we got to be real careful that we not allow our children. Hey, young people, listen to me. You got to be real careful that you not get caught up in the game of Christianity.
Yeah.
That you be real. Real. Because we become really good at being chameleons. What does that mean? I change my color wherever I am. And I can make it look like I'm good here. And then when I get out, I look good there. I can make myself look like the world, and I can make myself look spiritual. You're lying to yourself. Proverbs chapter 30. In verse 13. Unfortunately, our children learn it from us. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 13. There is a generation how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Covetousness. Never satisfied. Luke chapter 12. So I just got back to Proverbs. I'm sorry. I honestly thought about doing sword drills tonight. You know, it would have been fun, but I felt like it would have ruined the spirit. So we decided not to. Because then you guys would be fighting for stuff, and I said it first, and Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of what? Covetousness. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Is that, you know what that means? You are not, in the eyes of God, you are not, your status is not contingent about what you own. And then he'll tell a story. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Hey, he just hit gold, is what it is. Just things are coming up. Money's coming in faster. I got no room to keep all my stuff. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. What was the warning? Christ says, be warned, don't be covetous. Be content with what you have. He says, oh no, I'm going to get as much as I possibly can. What did God think about that? Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? He says, what do you got on the other side? Oh, sure, you got nice stuff here, but you're dying tonight. And all that goes away. What are you going to do with it? Be careful that you not get a covetous heart. You'll never be satisfied. Never. Lastly, Proverbs chapter 30. And then our message is going to take a strong turn, like the weather. That's discouraging right there. Yeah, I know. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 14. Can we read 11 through 13 again just to remind us? There's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. And lastly, there is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. The cruelness to the helpless. Our heart ought to break for those that are helpless. Why? Because there's a generation, it doesn't sound good what they're doing here. We ought to be compassionate to those that do not have. But that's not what's happening here. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 13. Proverbs 21, 13. Proverbs 21, 13 says, "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." Hey, be careful how uncompassionate you are with those that don't have, because one day you may find yourself on the other end. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 10. Proverbs 12, 10. "A righteous man regardeth the life of his own beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked," what does it say? "Are cruel." There's a generation that care not about anybody that can't help them. They're cruel, it says. So I read this passage over, and I've been milling it over in my head, and I almost feel like this is a hopeless generation. There's no redeeming quality in here. Curse their father. How does that go? Awful. Doth not bless their mother. Awful. Generation that are pure in their own eyes. Pride. How does that end? Destruction. Hypocritical, how does that end? A shame. Covetous, how does that end? Destruction, without, waste. And then those that are cruel. So I read that and I go, well, it's a lost cause. Just pack it up, close the doors. There's no point. If this is what's going on, what can I do to overcome that? Then I come to Psalm 78. Say, "I am so glad our young people are hearing this. This is what they need." The part I want them to hear, the part I want them to hear is Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 1, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, that which He commanded our fathers, they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. I read this and I say, there's hope. There's hope. But there's three things that have to happen a pure and honest praise. Look at verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. You know what young people need to see? They need to see some people worship God purely, wholeheartedly. That's what they need to see. They need to see that God is real in your life. Because know what they'll want? They will want that in their life. But if it's fake to you, they won't want any part of it. Told you last week about my mom's house. We used to have a fruit bowl, and that fruit bowl had fake fruit. I don't want fake fruit. I want real fruit. I like pomegranates. Anybody like pomegranates? Love pomegranates. They're great. A lot of work, but great. I like real fruit. I've tasted, I've seen the real. You can keep the fake. I want real praise in my life. Our young people, you know what they want? They want real praise in their life. They want to see it. Coming to Lake Ontario Baptist Academy is no guarantee that your child's going to walk with the Lord when they leave these doors. It's no guarantee they'll walk with the Lord when they're in these doors. I heard it said last week, an old preacher said this. He said, it doesn't matter what school you go to. It matters what table you sit at. Uh-hoo. It's what happens at home that's real. Is God praised in your home? Is God praised with your lips? That's what they're watching. They're looking for a generation to praise God ahead of them that they could mimic. They're looking to see that the power of God is for real. Look at verse 4 again. And the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works which that He hath done. What's God doing in your life? Right now, what's God doing in your life? Well, about 10 years ago, He told me something. What it really? Is that where God... God doesn't come down to meet with you personally all but 10 years spread out? You know what our young people need to see? That the power of God is for real. Yes, that our praise is for real. And then in verse 5, for He established a testimony in Jacob. There's hope. There's hope in praise. There's hope in His power. And as Brother Primer said, it has to be personal. Hey, young person, there's going to come a time, if not already, where you have to learn to walk with the Lord. That the God of heaven needs to be your God. And you can't hold on to mom and dad's coattails forever. It actually is detrimental. You need your own personal walk with Jesus Christ. There's no way I could prepare my sons for everything that the world has out there, other than teach them to talk and listen to God Himself. How do I do that? By it being personal to me. There's a generation coming who are disobedient to their parents, who are this, who are that. But there's hope for a generation. Because there's a group of people that take the praise and the power and the personal relationship with God serious. And that affects the next generation. Hey, young person, I'm here to tell you all the things of this book, all the things of you've been told about God, They're not some fairy tale. They're not some made-up story. They're real. I've proven them. I've seen it. I've done it over and over again. I pray to God that you've seen it in my life. This thing's for real. And you can go out there and you can go look for something else that's more meaningful, but you'll never find it. You're wasting your time. You'll waste your time. The best life is the life serving the Lord. There's hope. There's hope in God. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Let's all stand. There's some awful things listed in Proverbs chapter 30. But that doesn't have to be named among you. The question is, are you going to make Christianity real to you? I think you guys look awesome in your uniforms. I love it. I look at some of our previous uniforms, I go, whew, I like the uniforms we got going now. I like the little sweaters. But that doesn't make you a Christian. 5 days a week, you come into Lake Ontario Baptist Academy. You attend XYZ Church, wherever it is. But do you walk with the Lord? Do you praise Him in your heart? Have you experienced His power? Is He personal to you? You need it. You need it. In a minute, the music's going to play. We'll have an invitation. Maybe parents want to come and pray with their kids. Maybe some kids want to come and pray with their friends. Maybe parents want to come pray for their children. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless this time of invitation now. Lord, whatever it is that you spoke to people's hearts about, God, I pray that we would be, Lord, I pray that we'd be real with you. And honest. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight?